Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for the sermon is the gospel lesson, especially verse 10. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." This is the text. The title is Completely Unprepared for That Day. So, how did you prepare for Easter? Some cooking, some cleaning house, some getting ready for visitors, and on and on and on, and so it goes, right? That's how you prepared for Easter, knowing what the day was about. You want to know how they prepared for Easter back then, for that first Easter? The disciples went into hiding in the upper room, behind locked doors, for fear of the scribes and Pharisees, because they had seen Jesus betrayed and arrested, heard the crowd demanding his death, knew how he had been beaten, spit on, marched through the streets of Jerusalem and crucified. They had fled. Jesus' words of victory, "It is finished," his promise to rise on the third day, well, those things didn't come to mind like they do for us. And when they come to mind for us, they banish all fear and give us hope. And so the disciples prepared for Easter by hiding. There was a surprise waiting for them. Before the day was out, Jesus would stand among them and give them peace. Because Christ is risen. Hallelujah. The women, they prepared for Easter, preparing spices and heading off to the tomb to go and anoint the dead body of Jesus. That's quite an Easter preparation, don't you think? They had not been able to care for his body properly, and so after the Sabbath, a Sabbath of grief and waiting, preparation for Easter, waiting for the Sabbath to be over so they could take the spices they had prepared and do for Jesus one last kindness. They were on their way to the tomb. But there was a surprise waiting, and as they arrived at the tomb, it would not be at all what they expected. Stone rolled away, an angel sitting on it, guards shaking and in fear, and a message, "He is not here. He has risen just as he said." Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. The priests, how'd they prepare for Easter? They prepared by being worried that something would happen, and the hiding in fear disciples would suddenly become courageous world beaters and would steal the body of Jesus, taking it away from the guards and carry on the deception. And so they posted guards and were diligent about that, and the tomb was sealed. The soldiers, how did they prepare for Easter? Well, long hours of keeping watch through the night, maybe some yawning, and they're standing guard, ready to fend off a couple of fishermen and a tax collector with, what kind of weapons would they bring? But those were the preparations. And then all the preparations for that first Easter, preparations for that first Easter started to just fall apart. You know how the preparations you make sometimes begin to fall apart? Well, everything they did to prepare for that first Easter fell completely apart. No one expected an angel. No one expected an earthquake and a stone rolled away. No one expected that it was going to be an actual resurrection by the hand and power of God, and no one expected that Jesus, who said that he would be killed on the third day, rise again. No one takes my life from me. I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. No one expected that he would do exactly what he said. And so all of this is by the hand and by the act of God. And this point is very obvious. The resurrection of Jesus comes unexpectedly, unprepared for the resurrection. Jesus doing his thing, going about the work of defeating death, winning victory over the devil, shattering the tomb, promising us, that these bodies will rise. These eyes will see Jesus. These hands reach out and touch him. And it's his doing, whether we are ready or prepared, whether the disciples are ready or prepared, whether the women are ready or prepared, whether the guards are ready or prepared, whether the priests are ready or prepared or not. And of course, it isn't our believing that makes it happen. This is not a Disney movie. It doesn't matter how much or how little you or I feel the Easter spirit. It's a fact that Jesus has risen from the dead, and that fact changes all of history, all of the future, changes all our destinies. It is the one central fact in all of human history that Jesus Christ, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
And what's more, those who stand against it, the very ones who seek to guard against what they think is going to happen, the guards, the priests, Pilate approving the guard, setting the seal, not a single one of those are set up to prevent the actual acts of God and the power of Jesus rising from the dead. All they are set up to do is to prevent a faked resurrection. And I agree, I didn't want a faked resurrection either. But back to the preparations. Gospel of John records that Mary Magdalene was very concerned that she could not find the dead body of Jesus, supposed that that body had been stolen. Matthew tells us that she and another Mary hurried away, afraid yet filled with joy. She's only the first of many. But she would have done better to have been worried on the way to the tomb that she would find the dead body of Jesus. And the day continues with the disciples not believing, the two on the road to Emmaus not believing, the 10 in the upper room not believing. How slow our hearts are to understand and believe. But Jesus does the works and the acts of God, whether we are ready or not. And it is only when they see him, one after another, the women, the 10 disciples, and 1 week later, you know the story. What's his name? Thomas. Only when they see Jesus and can reach out and touch him that they finally believe. But when they do see the risen Lord, they have to go and tell. Everything's changed. There's life. It's eternal. There's a Savior. He's made us children of God. There is heaven. There will be a rising from the dead, and these bodies will see God. It's true, all that Jesus had told them. He had promised that he would rise on the third day. He had spoken words of triumph on the cross. It is finished. He'd done what he came to do and was done with our sins. They were covered, paid for, removed, taken away forever, and Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
And his sacrifice and suffering and death They were accepted as the sacrifice for us, as the cleansing of our souls, as the redeeming of our lives, accepted by His Father, and the law of God is satisfied, and Jesus rose. And you realize, of course, that this is not just a matter of historical fact. What is done there on that day is done for you. And Jesus connects everything He is and everything He does with you and with your soul and with your destiny. Martin Luther says, His cross is your cross. His death is your death. His tomb is your tomb. See, the cross finishing off the penalty for sin, death. Death that destroys death, the tomb shattered and broken. And continuing, His resurrection is your resurrection. His life is your life. His heaven is your heaven. His glory is your glory. And what Jesus did on the cross is for the salvation of the world. For all mankind, for every human being who has ever lived and will ever live, He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the sins of all mankind. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And the message must continue and must go out and must be spoken everywhere in the world, so that souls of every nation and of every language can be gathered into the kingdom of God to live forever, and that we might have this hope of the resurrection, and that this hope of the resurrection could spread all over the world and touch even those in the remotest places. Christ is risen.